After a solid night's rest, Kelly was summoned to the officers' quarters. "Feeling better?" Ritter asked in greeting. "Some," Kelly allowed. "What's the story on the Russian?"
"Clark,
you just might have done something useful." Ritter gestured to a table with no less than 10 piles of documents on them. "They're planning to kill the prisoners," Greer said.
"Who?
The Russians?" Kelly asked.
"The Vietnamese," Greer replied. "The Russians want them alive. This guy you picked up is trying to take them home."
"Is that good or bad?" Kelly asked. The grim faces held no answer.
"This Grisanov guy was going to a considerable effort to keep our people alive," Ritter explained.
"So what do we do with him?" Podolsky asked.
"That, gentlemen, is our department," Ritter said.
"Wait a minute," Kelly objected. "He was pumping them for information."
"So?" Ritter asked. "That was his job." "We're getting away from the real issue here," Maxwell said.
"I know," Greer replied. "We have to move fast."
"And finally," Ritter tapped a translated Vietnamese message, "we know that somebody burned the mission. We're going to track that bastard down."
"Where's John?" Sandy O'Toole looked up from her paperwork. Professor Rosen's question renewed her worries.
"Out of the country. Why?"
"I got a call from the police. They're looking for him."
"Oh, God. Why?"
"He didn't say." Rosen looked around. They were alone. "Sandy, I know he's been doing things."
"I haven't heard from him. What are we supposed to do?"
Rosen grimaced. "We're supposed to cooperate with the police. But we're not doing that, are we? No idea where he is."
"He gave me a number I can call. I haven't used it."
"I would," Sam told her, and left.
It wasn't right. John was off doing something scary and important, only to come back to a police investigation. It seemed to Nurse O'Toole that the unfairness of life had gotten as bad as it could. She was wrong.
"Pittsburgh,
that's what he said," Henry confirmed.
"It's cute, by the way, having him as your man on the inside."
"Very professional," Piaggi said with respect.
"He said we need to take care of it quick. She hasn't said much yet."
"She saw it all."
Piaggi didn't think that very professional at all.
"Tony, I'm going to take care of it. And the others. But we need to handle this problem right quick. Dig?"
It seemed to Henry Tucker that he was nearing the finish line, and past it was safety and prosperity. That 5 more people had to die to get him across was a small matter after the race he'd already run.
"Go on."
"The family name is Brown. Her name is Doris. Her father's name is Raymond."
"You sure of this?"
"The girls talk to each other. You got connections. I need you to use them fast."
Piaggi copied down the information.
"Okay. But it's not going to be cheap, Henry."
"I didn't expect it would be."
Greer and Ritter were the busiest on the long journey back to the States. Ritter handled most of the interrogation of the Russian, aided by decaffeinated coffee laced with brandy for his guest. Ritter explained to Grisanov that they had no plans to kill him. Yes, they were CIA. Yes, Ritter was a field officer with ample experience behind the Iron Curtain. He allayed the man's fears, assuring him that they knew of his efforts to keep the prisoners alive, and that they'd make every effort to return Grisanov to his home. It all helped to loosen the Russian's tongue.
"Your man killed Vin, did he?" Grisanov asked.
"Yes, but..."
"Good. He was a vicious little fascist bastard. He wants to kill those men, murder them."
"Well, Colonel, we're hoping to find a way to prevent that."
The landing at Hickam startled Kelly into wakefulness, at last back on American soil. Then it washed over him again.
"Just once," he thought, "I'd like to finish something the right way." He clenched his fist. "Yes, I'm going to get those other girls out. I'll get Bert next, and we'll talk. I'll even let the bastard go when I'm done, probably. I can't save the whole world, but by Jesus, I'll save some of it."